You may be seated. I'd like to invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin where you'll find our scripture reading for this morning. As we continue looking at the I wills of the I am, and perhaps there's no more beloved I will in the entirety of the Gospels than the promise, I will give you rest. I will give you shalom, which means peace or soul rest. It's something we all desperately want. We want it because all of us, in some way, shape, or form, carry burdens. Burdens that weary our souls, that weigh us down. As Plato said, be kind. Everyone you know is fighting a great battle. I think that's always important to keep in mind with anyone you encounter. I know this, in this congregation, there are people in this room carrying just incredible burdens. Things that are very challenging, things that bring great anxiety and unrest. I know that, not only because I know some of you and your situations, but I know that because I'm dealing with human beings. We're just people who tend to wrestle with burdens, and perhaps one of the ways you can embrace this teaching of Christ is to ask yourself what burden or burdens you presently are carrying. And it's very easy to start adding them up. The list is endless. Burdens that relate to work, or to marriage, or to children, or to finances, or to health, or to aging, or security, or temptations, or addictions, and responsibilities we have. Burdens that come from unfulfilled desires, dreams that have been unrealized. Burdens that come from chronic illness, or numerous anxieties and fears. Burdens that perhaps come from just loneliness. The thing about burdens is some of them are necessary. Some of the things I listed are just part of life. You can't get around having those burdens. Some of the burdens we carry are chosen. We take them upon ourselves and we make them so prominent in our life they become very, very troubling. Many of the burdens are unchosen. Doesn't matter if they're chosen, unchosen, or just necessary. They're all heavy. They're all burdens. They all weigh us down. And so the question we're constantly faced with as human beings, what will we do with these burdens? What will we do with them? Well, we could do one of two extremes. We can brush them aside and act like they don't exist, or we can wallow in them. We can wallow in them to such an extent that those burdens become our identity. We wouldn't know what to do without those burdens because they define who we are and the grudges and the bitterness we hold. What will we do? Brush them aside, act as if they don't exist, wallow in them? Well, what we're invited to do with them by our Lord and Savior, the risen Christ, is to bring them to Him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. And the promise is not that the burdens will be removed, but that we will find rest in the midst of them. The reason they're not removed is if they are removed, we still have another burden. It's Jesus' burden. At the end, he says in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's no way to get rid of the burdens altogether. And in fact, when Jesus offers this promise, he himself is incredibly burdened. In the context just previous to this, he's had to make numerous judgment calls on places he's visited, where he's been rejected, where he's been turned away. The situation against him is turning sour. His approval ratings are down. His ministry's not going well. There's growing resistance everywhere he goes. And that's what makes this promise so wonderful. It's in the midst of the burdens that Jesus himself carries, in the midst of his own rejection and own failures, that he offers praise to God. And if you look at our opening paragraph, before Jesus even gives this promise, he's in communion with the Father. And he says in the midst of his own burdens, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden these things. Keep in mind, many had rejected and his approval ratings are down. You've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent because they always have it together. They think they have all the resources within themselves. But you've revealed them to babes because, Father, this is what pleases you. Babes who know that they need to trust. Babes who know that they are helpless. Babes who know the great weight of the burden and perhaps the impossibility of relieving the burden themselves. And then Jesus makes an amazing statement in verse 27 as he speaks of how only the Father fully understands Jesus, and only Jesus fully understands the Father. And then at the end of this, he says that Jesus is willing to reveal the Father to whomever he wishes. And that's when we get the promise. Jesus says, I will reveal the Father to whomever I wish. And guess who he wishes to reveal God to? The weary, the burdened, the heavy laden, the infants. It's in that context that Jesus in verse 28 says, come to me, and he invites the downcast, the heavy laden, those who are emotionally and physically and spiritually fatigued, weighed down with burdens, and it's to those people that Jesus promises rest. But that rest can only be attained if we take the invitation. And the invitation is at least twofold. Verse 28, come to me. That's the first part. 29, take my yoke upon you. And the third part, learn from me. So a lot of this knowing Jesus shalom has to do with taking upon ourselves this thing that in the ancient world made a lot of sense. It doesn't as much in our world, but I have a lot of people from farming families, so it instantly does with you, but perhaps most moderns this wouldn't. The idea of a yoke, which is just simply a bar or a wooden frame that joins two animals together to share a heavy load. And the purpose is to ease their discomfort. If they had to bear the load on their own, it'd be much more difficult than if they have a wonderfully designed yoke that carefully places the weight in the proper areas, and if they are sharing that yoke with another beast of burden who will also aid them in their bearing of the burden. Now, in Jesus' day, if you took the yoke of a rabbi, if you were to follow a rabbi, you took their yoke upon yourself. You devoted yourself to intense study of that rabbi's teachings, all the fine points of that rabbi, all the nuances and endless details of law. And at the end of the day, you'd be devoting yourself to a constant study of an endless weight of possible interpretations of Jewish law, which would add burdens. Because law in and of itself never can give rest. Jesus is offering that same invitation of a rabbi, but his apprentices will not learn the fine points of the law as much as verse 29, take my yoke and learn from me. And what do we learn from Jesus? I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And then he says something that we all find very difficult to process. And to the extent we do, this sermon may be an eye-opener for you. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Yoke is easy and burden is light. One of the reasons we have a challenge with this is we can't imagine that religion and faith in Christ perhaps might be the easy way. But one of the things we do to make this hard to understand is we define easy in ways that Jesus isn't meaning. We define easy like lying in a hammock on Hawaii. We define it as pain-free, carefree, and comfortable, kind of something that's user-friendly, something that involves no burdens, no pains, no challenges at all. But the word easy is the Greek word krestos. And it's better translated, my yoke is good. My yoke is suitable. Or even, my yoke is pleasant. It's kind. And when you put it in the context of a yoke, it helps to understand why this yoke is the good yoke or the easy yoke. One commentator writes, a well-made yoke distributes the load evenly, making the task easier. A well-fitted yoke follows the contours of the oxen's neck so that it does not rub or chafe. You could use this. A well-fitted yoke is like a good pair of shoes. It fits just right. It doesn't rub in the wrong areas and create all kinds of sores and difficulties with one's feet. It's just a good pair of shoes that actually aids you in your walking about rather than hindering you. Jesus, as we all know, was a carpenter. He knew the trade of working with wood. He understood what a good yoke was, a high-quality yoke, a yoke that really has been thoughtfully made in light of the one that will bear it, in order that it is properly designed to fit all the contours of the animal and to make their load-bearing easier. It wouldn't eliminate the load, but it would make the yoke, the load-bearing, easier. With that in mind, then, read verse 29 with me again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is good, suitable, fitting, easy, pleasant, and my burden is light. The yoke is easy, the burden is light, but there's still a yoke and there's still a burden. That's perhaps where we all go wrong, because we assume this is going to put us in a place where we're lying again in the hammock on Hawaii with no cares at all. Jesus still says there's a yoke, still says there's a burden, but the difference with this yoke is that our burden's been refrained. It's not that we have little to do that makes this yoke easy, but it's that we are engaged in the way of God. We are pulling in the direction that God is moving in this world. We are united with the one who has a burden that God's kingdom would advance, that God's way would go forward, and being united with that one, we're working with the kingdom of God instead of against it. And because we're working with it, there's a sense in which it fits the world in the way that God intends it. So one of the reasons it is easy or light is not because there's little, but because it's the way of God. But another reason, of course, is because we're pulling with another. It's because of who we're yoked with. Yoke, if nothing else for you, is a tool of connection. It's a way to unite two individuals. And when the two are united, the work becomes more easy rather than more difficult. And the idea is we're to draw strength and we're to draw direction from our Emmanuel. That's Matthew's way of speaking of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. That we share His burden and we enter into His spirituality of Abba, Father, the one who's always pulling alongside with us as well. So we are joined with the very sovereign God with us, who chooses to be yoked with the humble, the infants, the weak, and the burdened. I said all this to lead us to this point. Perhaps the most startling revelation in this promise is the one that we find the hardest to believe. So I'm going to say it twice. God wants to make things easier for us, not harder. If Jesus' promise is true, God wants to make things easier for us, not harder. We tend to make religion and tradition and all kinds of things far more difficult than they need be. We manufacture our own complications. Now, there's a difference between complications and complexity. Everything's always complex. It's always challenging. There's endless nuances to just about everything. But everything doesn't have to be a complicated burden. Things can reduce down to, if we're willing and open, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. God wants to make things easier. So the hard way is pulling against Jesus' yoke rather than pulling with Jesus in His yoke. Are you following me there? The hard way is pulling against the yoke, striving against the kingdom, striving against the ways of God. The easier way is always pulling with. When we're striving against, we're doing everything in our own strength alone and our own way without any divine direction. Dallas Willard, who I've been just immersing myself in, puts it this way. One of the lies about the spiritual life is that it is hard. No, no, it is not hard. It is the easy way. What's hard is the other way, and that is what you see when you look at the world. Think of the psalm that Robert read. The righteous are like a tree by living waters. They flourish. They thrive. They are what they should be within this world. The wicked, they're like chaff. They're blown away. The entirety of the Bible is meant to communicate to us the hard way is always kicking against the goads. The hard way is always striving against God's commandments rather than pulling alongside with them. The hard way is always resisting Jesus and His call. It is not following His call and taking His yoke. Dallas goes on and says, this is a bit of knowledge that we need to bring to people. We need to help them understand, and he's talking to pastors here, that the transformation of the self leads to a life of blessing. You heard Robert read, happy are those who walk in the way of God. Blessed are those. And it seems to me, we can get so inundated with rules and traditions and lists and endless kind of ideas of perfection and who we should be and how we should be that our religion gets very complicated. Instead of it just being, as it is, a mystery, very complex, but at the end of the day, it's the easy way. It's the much better way. It's the pleasant way. It's the suitable way. It's the way in which we're intended to walk. It's going our own way that leaves us empty, broken, and lifeless, and burdened to the point of absolute exhaustion, and sometimes just flat out giving up. The good news is Jesus wants us to walk alongside Him in the easy way. He wants to empower us by His presence with the yoke and encourage us and guide us. He doesn't push or pull. He doesn't control or manipulate. But He wants to take our burdens as His, and also then making His burdens ours. His burden being that the kingdom of God would go forward in power. That the ways of God, God's gentleness and humility and compassion and kindness, would be expressed through our lives. He wants us to learn that the God who exists is the God of the humble. The God who cares for the weak and the weary and the burdened. He wants us to know that nothing we experience, we ever have to experience alone if we're yoked with Jesus. You may remember 5 weeks ago, the I will go before you. The risen Christ. Now the risen Christ not only says, I will go before you, the risen Christ says, I will walk beside you. Because He is the Emmanuel, the God with us, the God for us. Nothing we do need ever be done in our own strength alone, by ourselves. He has made a good and suitable and pleasant way, a way that has to do with taking His yoke upon ourselves and learning of Him. I conclude with this. We started with how we all carry heavy burdens. They weary us. They weigh heavy. That's part of life in this world. There's no philosophy. There's no theology. There's nothing that will eliminate those challenges from your life. But Jesus has an invitation for us in the midst of our burdens. And the invitation is to come to Him with our burdens. Those who are weary and heavy laden. To find strength from Him in our burdens. And to ultimately know His rest. To do that, we simply need to do two things. Come to Him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And if we do that, His promise is, I will give you rest. And if the I will says He will do something, you can count on it. Would you pray with me?